sent Dmitri scurrying away in terror, out of Julian's line of sight and, more importantly, his reach. His throat tight, Kirian bravely met Julian's gaze.
"Thank you for your mercy, Commander. I won't leave my armor off again, I promise."
Julian had inclined his head to him.
"If it makes you feel better, Highness, I threw up in battle my first time, too. I even pissed myself, and I was Spartan born and trained. Don't let the others get to you. You showed a lot of courage on the field today, and stood your ground at times when I've seen far more experienced soldiers fall, or worse, turn and flee."
Ashamed, but grateful for Julian's uncharacteristic compassion and unexpected understanding, Kirian had looked away.
"Does it ever get easier?"
Julian had further stunned him by offering him a drink from his own wineskin.
"Yes. But the day you can walk into battle and coldly take the life of another without feeling anything for that man and the future you've just robbed him of is the day you should dread most, not one to be anticipated. What we do, while necessary, is an evil, young prince, and it is a course that should never be taken lightly or served with glee. Rather, one always walked with reverence and full knowledge of the cost to every soul it touches. For the one truth of all fights, no matter how small, is that everyone walks away forever mired by it, and with bloody hands."
Those words echoed in Nick's head as he saw the sickening devastation around him. It was a lesson Kirian forever harped on with him. Now he understood why. But he didn't understand why he was seeing it right now, when he needed to be attentive elsewhere, any more than he comprehended what was causing the visions to come to him in the first place. There was something important about them. That much he knew. His brain wouldn't be coughing them up otherwise. It was some part of his residual Malachi powers trying to warn him of something. Yet they were more frustrating than Nashira's old riddles, and they made even less sense, something he would never thought possible. Shaking his head, he focused his sight on Simi's daughter and Zev. She was still staring at Zev, as if debating whether or not she should battle him, which would be a huge mistake. As powerful as she was, and even though Zev had a lot of his powers restricted and bound, it didn't alter the fact that he remained one of the best fighters Nick had ever seen. He'd put Zev up against anyone, even a fully charged Malachi. She lifted her chin and sniffed the air.
"You're of the Source? Why would you protect him?"
She jerked her chin toward Nick and used a tone that implied he hadn't bathed. Ever. And that he'd recently fought and lost a match with a herd of polecats. Though actually, that might be better applied to Zev, since he was the one she could supposedly smell. But Zev ignored the obvious insult.
"Because he's not the one you're after, and we're here to get answers."
Suddenly, another demonic screech sounded. She glanced up at the dark sky, then disengaged Zev and ran toward the smoldering remains of the cathedral.
"Oh, that can't be good."
If whatever made that sound sent her into flight on foot, it had to be a winged Godzilla heading for them. Or something even worse. And if it was worse, Nick definitely didn't want to meet it out in the open, without some kind of supercharged weapon. As more screeching sounded, Zev took his arm and pulled him after her. His heart lodged painfully in his throat. Nick followed the path Simi's daughter had taken. He saw her just up ahead. "What happened here?" he called out to her as they ran down the alley and jumped over large broken pieces of pavement. She cast a menacing glare at him over her shoulder as she dodged someone's charred body and kept moving.
"You should know. Your army did this."
"Not my army."
Frustrated, Nick groaned out loud as he saw even more flaming wreckage and bodies that turned his stomach and made bile rise in his throat. New Orleans had been turned into an all-out war zone. Ambrose hadn't been kidding. This was unlike anything Nick had ever imagined. No wonder he'd been so freaked out that he'd sought to go back in time to stop it from happening. His head spinning, he glanced at Zev, who was pulling up their rear.
"What makes me do this?"
It didn't make sense. At this point in time, His mother would have been dead for centuries. Malachi, temper or not, he should have moved past it. What's my catalyst for going hog wild on the world? Something profoundly bad had to have happened to make Ambrose strike out like this. Why would he continue to think it was his mother that caused his anger and wrath to break? It just couldn't be that simple, could it? As they headed down Père Antoine Alley toward Royale, a huge demon rose up from the smoke with blazing eyes. Letting loose a fierce war cry and burst of blue hellfire, it flew at them, snapping and sizzling in the air that was rife with static electricity. The stench of sulfur and smoke hung thick in Nick's throat, making it hard to breathe. More demons exploded from the air around the first, ready to attack and eat anything they saw. As did a group of heavily armed humans who came spilling out of the old Ethel Kidd Realty building. Between the ages of 18 and 35, and armed with flamethrowers and demon grenades, they all appeared to be graduates of the Bubba and Mark School of the Zombie Apocalyptic Survivalists. It wasn't until Simi's daughter ran to the humans to fight with them, and half the demons turned to be caught between the humans and a group of demons behind them, that Nick realized this had been a staged trap that she'd led them into. Strategic explosions rained down searing debris and shrapnel over the demons that forced him and Zev to take cover in the shelter of the church's crumbling alcoves. Bubba would definitely be proud, and Nick was most decidedly impressed with their ingenuity, until they began to attack him and Zev. Then he lost his respect for their abilities. Zev pulled him back to protect him.
Whoa! Allies! We're on your side!
They didn't buy into it. Not until the largest demon on Team Humanity went for Zev's throat and one of the humans grabbed his arm to stop him from taking Zev's head. She held him back with a determined grip.
Lucy! Stop!
Hissing, the red and gold fleshed demon glared at the attractive young woman who was probably a year or two older than Nick. His red eyes telegraphed fury and another emotion that appeared to be concern, which made no sense whatsoever. With long, wavy, dark hair, the woman reminded Nick of Caleb for some reason.
Are you insane?
The demon snapped between his clenched fangs. Her breath labored. She gestured at Nick with her sword. And she stared at him as if he were some forgotten memory that she'd buried because it had been too painful to remember.
That's not Cyprian come for us.
He's my father. It's Ambrose.
Chapter 10.
Okay, forget how shocking the "See me had a daughter" declaration had been. This was absolutely the last thing Nick had expected a girl to say to him, ever, in his entire lifetime. He couldn't have been more stunned had she declared herself pregnant with his child. Never mind the fact that she was physically older than he was, and he'd only been driving a car for a year on his own, and not particularly well, he might add, or that he'd never slept with a woman, period, so the concept of being anyone's father was just a little weird and impossible on every level imaginable. For that matter, his mom barely allowed him to watch R-rated movies, and even when she did, she guilted the snot out of him and then made him go to confession for it, only to have Father Jeffrey laugh at him for confessing something so mild. Yeah, his future therapists would thank her mightily for that psychological damage. Still, why should he allow logic to interfere with this bizarre reality? Because he was really freaking out right now, like a hyperactive squirrel that had just awakened in a dog kennel of T-virus-infected hellhounds hyped up on Red Bull and steroids in the heart of Raccoon City.
I'm the who, what?
A slow smile curved her lips.
You're my father.
The demons shot firebolts at them. Cursing and dodging, they turned to rejoin the fight. His daughter shot a blast at her assailants, then rushed to Nick's side with a laugh before she practically tackled him with a hug.
I can't believe it's you, that you're finally back. I've missed you so much.
Tears swam in her eyes that were identical to his. Eyes that he realized were identical to his mother's, now that she was closer to him.
You said you'd find a way to return, but dang, Dad, you're only half grown and about half the muscle mass of that scary demon I'm used to. Where's Mom? Did you find her?
Nick's mouth worked, but no sound would come out as she hugged him again. She'd struck him speechless, which was a hard, hard thing to do.
What's your name?
Releasing her hold, she took his question like a slap in the face. She even recoiled from him.
You don't know me?
A tear fell down her cheek, before she glanced back to the others, who continued to fight the demons, oblivious to what he was saying. He felt terrible for having hurt her feelings, but he was still in shock over this. Zev ran back to them.
Nick, we've got a huge problem.
Yeah, you could say that. With a fierce growl, the demon his daughter had called Lucy landed on the ground in front of Nick and blasted him with his powers. The blow would have sent Nick careening had his daughter not blocked it. Furious over her actions, the demon tucked his wings down before he assumed a human body. Tall and well-built, he was as fair as Simi's daughter had been dark. With bright green eyes and wavy blonde hair, there was something strangely familiar about him. Yet Nick couldn't quite place him. He stalked toward them with a tick in his jaw that said he wanted to mop the alley with Nick's blood and use his eyes for a game of marbles.
That's not your father, Charity, you know that. It's another trick of the Malachi to weaken and divide us. Our fathers died together in battle. We were there and saw the Malachi drive his sword through him. I don't know who or what this prick is, but he's not Ambrose.
Biting her lip, she shook her head.
Somehow it's him. I can feel it, Luce. His blood speaks to me.
The tick picked up rhythm as he eyed Zev with venom.
Declare yourself a god suckled by Inari. That explains the stench. And yours?
Zev asked, in a tone that was either really brave or incredibly stupid. The demon snorted.
Caronte. You're not just Caronte. There's something a lot more powerful in you, and it's not colossal blood. Yours either. Which is why you don't need to know anything about us.
He glanced at Nick's daughter.
Cherry, we've got to go while we have an opening. Otherwise we'll be trapped in the city without reinforcements.
Take Amara and the others and go. I'll be right behind you.
Sure.
She cut his words off by gently brushing her fingers against his lips.
Lucien, please. I have to pick up Annabelle anyway. I'm not about to leave her behind. She'll need help to carry supplies.
Nick saw the love and pain in Lucien's gaze as he debated what to do.
You don't delay, understood?
Understood.
A long-legged beauty armed with a silver-tipped whip came forward to clap Lucien on his shoulder. There was something about her that reminded Nick of a blonde version of Tabitha Devereaux, the lunatic vampire slayer who helped them out from time to time at home. Only thing missing was Tabby's zoo crew and her androgynous Ziggy Stardust boyfriend.
I'll stay with her, Lucy. You know I won't let anything happen to your girl.
Thanks, Marissa.
Two men stepped forward.
Me and Driston will stay behind and pull point for them.
Lucien handed his grenade holster to the dark-haired man who'd volunteered.
Pax, Val, and thanks.
Securing the holster to his hips, Val inclined his head.
Pax, take 'em.
Lucien gave a light, lingering kiss to Charity.
Don't break my heart. I've lost too much in this fight already to lose you two.
Then he and the others took flight. Nick passed a baffled stare to Zev.
I'm so lost.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, Marissa is Kirian's daughter.
Eyes wide, Nick's jaw went slack. What? She arched a teasing brow at him.
Don't you remember bouncing me on your knee, Uncle Nick? Teaching me how to burp my alphabet with chocolate milk while my mom and Rosa had fits? How to eat beignets without inhaling powdered sugar up my nose, or the jitterbug and two-step, and sing Iko Iko, and play the spoons and accordion. Any of that ring a bell?
Charity gaped.
Wait, wait, wait. Are you kidding me? After the way he used to get onto me for belching at the table, telling me it wasn't ladylike, and he taught you how to do it? That's so wrong!
Another shadow materialized beside Nick and sniffed at him. Cocking his head, he manifested from werewolf to a blonde human.
He doesn't know any of us.
He didn't even recognize your brothers, Rissa. Dristan grimaced. That's just hurtful. And here I thought I was hard to forget, not like you meet an Adonk every day.
Ça c'est fou, mon oncle.
Nick gaped as Val said, "That's crazy, my uncle," in Cajun. It was obvious that before Ambrose had lost his mind, he'd been a major part of their lives. They weren't lying. This was his daughter. And these were the grown children of his friends.
Zev?
Nick turned to him as he struggled with it all. What's happening?
Jaden sent us too far into the future. And yet,
he paused to let out a bitter laugh,
I think we were meant to be here, to meet them.
I don't understand. Zev rubbed at his arm, where his curse was hidden by his sleeve.
Yeah, I know. I'm having a hard time with this one myself.
Nick pressed his hand to his forehead as he tried to comprehend why they were here. I'm not the one who destroys the world? Charity scowled at him.
No. How can you not remember any of us?
He's still in the high school, Zev said quietly. None of you have been born yet.
Marissa passed a concerned look to Val.
That means our parents haven't met.
He went pale.
Then why is he even here?
The werewolf let out a foul curse.
Don't you see? It's a trap. The Mavrominos behind this. By sending him here, it could jeopardize all our lives, stop our parents from ever meeting, us from being born. We just took out their command, and we're close to winning, so now he's here to screw it all up. It would change everything, alter history as we know it.
Nick held his hands up.
No, that's not why I'm here. I mean, yes, it is, but not to change your history. To protect your lives and mine, I came here to stop this,
he gestured at the debris,
from happening. I was told I did this, that I ended the world.
Who told you that? Marissa scowled.
Ambrose.
Charity arched her brow.
But you're Ambrose. I know that.
And then they stared at each other in mutual confusion until another thing hit Nick.
Wait a second. All of you know me. You don't seem to know my Sarudara. Is it me or is that weird?
Arching a brow, Val scowled.
What are you sniffing?
He jerked his chin at Zev.
That's not the Sarudara.
Nick exchanged a scoffing laugh with Zev.
Yes, I am,
Zev said firmly.
I've been the Sarudara since the very beginning. There's never been another.
Marissa shook her head.
You're wrong, the demon Livy is the Sarudara.
Nick sobered instantly at what that would have to mean.
No, she isn't. I kicked her rotten butt out of our clubhouse the minute I took over.
Zev held his hand up to stop them from commenting.
Wait, who are the Usumgalu right now, in this time period?
Charity counted them off on her fingers. Bane, Livia, Grimm, Laguerre, Ire, and Kassar. He cut a gimlet stare to Nick.
Don't you get it, kid? For her to have my position, I'd have to be dead or seriously incapacitated. And if they'd succeeded in eliminating me, then they would have opened the Kiyazazu, the gates to Asmodea. Noir and Azura are out. This is the end.
Yeah, Nick said, stretching the word out. But we stopped them. I chose a different set of generals. You were there, you know I did.
Yes, but something else must have happened at a much later time.
Zev gestured at Charity.
You said that Ambrose isn't your Malachi.
Correct.
Her words were cut off by a blast that struck her in the chest and knocked her backward away from Nick.
No!
Nick shouted as she hit the ground hard and rolled to her side. The others scrambled to return fire as more demons flew in to engage them for a fight. Ignoring them, Nick ran to his daughter. He gently turned her over to find that she was covered in blood from the wound that had opened up most of her side. Her breathing ragged, she stared up at him, with tears glistening in her pale eyes as her lips trembled from the pain of the gaping injury the demon had left her with.
It's the Cyprian Malachi, she whispered.
Nick tightened his arms around her,
Stay with me, Charity. I'll get you some help. No sooner had he spoken those words than he felt that horrible, familiar tugging sensation. He was under attack from another entity, an unseen force. Nick stood to confront it, but the moment he did, he was sucker-punched. Air violently left his lungs, and everything went dark. Chapter 11. Nick jolted as he slammed into the floor of Manyara's shop, face down. What the heck? How would he come back home? They hadn't been ready yet. He had questions he still needed answered. No! He pushed himself up and looked around for the others, hoping that maybe they might have come with him. Cody rushed to his side. Nick, what is it? Zev fell to the floor a few feet away. Why did you bring us back? He asked him. Shaking his head as he pushed himself into a seated position, Zev appeared as bewildered as Nick felt. I didn't do this. I was in the middle of fighting and trying to help them. Frustrated and furious, Nick raked his hand through his hair as he tried to use powers he didn't have to get back there. What about Charity? Will she be okay?
I don't know.
Zev rose and headed straight for Jaden.
What the hell is going on?
He snarled at him.
Did you do this to get back at us? What? Don't you dare what me like you don't know.
If Jaden was feigning ignorance, the man or demon or whatever he was should win an Oscar for the performance, because he looked completely innocent and oblivious.
What did you see there? Did you find Ambrose? No.
Zev gestured at Nick.
There's another Malachi who reigns after Ambrose. He's not the last one.
Utter silence rang out in the room. Caleb sat up slowly.
I beg your pardon? Are you on meth?
Zev turned slowly toward his brother.
You heard correctly. It's confirmed. I saw it myself. Nick saw it. Ambrose falls to another Malachi. And that Malachi is the one who opens the gate to Asmodea. Not Ambrose.
He faced Cody.
But it doesn't mesh with your memories. At all.
Nick's head pounded. Though whether it was from trying to sort this out or from the time travel or being slammed around on hard concrete repeatedly, he didn't know. Could Cody be from an alternate future? Would that explain why she doesn't know about this other Malachi? Jaden narrowed his gaze on them.
There's one way to find out for sure.
Zev threw his hand up to his father to put an invisible wall between Jaden and Cody.
Don't you even. You take one step toward her and I'll rip out your heart.
Jaden gave him a look that dared him to try it. One that said he'd feed Zev his own heart if he attempted it.
Don't you want an answer?
He asked bitterly.
Not at that cost.
Cody bit her lip. What's the cost? Zev glanced at her over his shoulder.
A blood donation that would tie you to my father forever.
That doesn't seem so bad.
Noir and Azora would be able to use it to track Nick and you through him.
Oh.
Exactly. We can't afford to let them near either of you, not until we know who the mother of his son is. It could be you or another. We were pulled back before we could ask that. Or how this new Malachi comes into being.
Zev moved toward Nick.
What did Charity say to you?
Only the name of the Malachi. Cyprian.
Her brother?
Nick shrugged. I mean, he would have to be, right? He has to be a son of my bloodline, too. Cody gaped at Nick and the disclosure they'd just blindsided her with. Wait, what? Back this up. Charity was your daughter? Nick held his hands out in hopeless despair, not quite sure how to explain it to her without really making her mad. Not that he blamed her, since he had no way of knowing when he'd fathered his children or with whom. Believe me, no one's more shocked about this than me, especially given how a Malachi is supposed to be conceived. I can't imagine any circumstance where I'd hurt someone, especially a woman.
Unless he wasn't.
They all scowled at Jaden.
Come again?
Zev approached his father, slowly. Jaden pressed his fist to his lips.
Come on.
You two remember how Grimm and Laguerre were cursed to become the Sarunamos and the Sorotum Ipru.
They might, but it was a few hundred thousand years before either Nick or I was born, so would you please explain for us?
Cody asked. Jaden let out a bitter laugh.
It's ironic, really. I think it's why you can't kill Nick, little Cody. Even though you were ordered to. Even though you know it will ultimately cost you everything you'll ever have or love, you just can't. Because over and over, no matter how hard the gods keep trying to come between you, the two of you find each other, in spite of all obstacles.
Cody's scowl matched Nick's.
Pardon?
Caleb sighed heavily.
He's right. Remember how I reacted the first time I saw your bow? And realized you were the daughter of Bathymas?
Yeah?
Cody?
Nick breathed, as his head began to swim. He stumbled back, away from her, and fell.
Nick, what's going on?
Something about Caleb's words had triggered a seizure in his brain. Worse, it had snapped the Malachi Fury and returned his powers with a vengeance. They were taking him over in a way they hadn't done since the early days of when they'd first become unlocked, and he was powerless against them, no longer in control. He felt his breathing turn frenetic as that familiar heat burned through him and his black wings snapped out of his spine. His vision darkened and his heartbeat pounded in his ears like a war drum, fast, furious, thumping. Rolling, he came to his feet, head down, to glare at his friends in the manner of a rabid dog, trying to decide whose throat he was going to rip out first. Fangs filled his mouth, and the blood craving wet his appetite. Cody swallowed hard as she saw Nick's eyes change over. No longer blue. They were all demon black now. His skin changed to that deep blood red that was marked by ancient black symbols so that it formed an elegant swirling pattern all over his body. Strangely beautiful and at the same time terrifying. Black lines cut across both of his eyes and down his cheeks into sharp points. And the same blood red laced through his black hair, just as it did his eyes, until they glowed in the dim light.
The Malachi was a creature of exquisite death. And when those blood-streaked eyes met hers, she trembled, but not in fear. Somehow she knew he wouldn't hurt her.
Even though the Nick she knew had receded behind the monster in front of her, there was something about him that said she was safe.
Ambrose?
His black wings fluttered, stirring the air around them and sending dust and debris rattling. Jaden took a step toward her. Hissing, Nick grabbed her into a tight protective embrace. He literally wrapped his entire body around her and lifted her from the floor. He held her cradled against his chest with an ease that was truly, truly terrifying. With his wings flapping in a slow, rhythmic arcing motion, they hovered in a far corner of the shop. Nick closed his eyes and pressed his cheek against the top of her head. He held her as if she were unspeakably precious, as if he'd lost her and had finally found her again. She had the impression that he wasn't going to allow anyone to come near her or remove her from his arms. And while he held her like that, she saw why. They were no longer in New Orleans. Rather, she was in an ancient Hurrian city on top of a hill that overlooked the capital, where people were in the process of rebuilding structures that had been damaged by a savage war. Even the temple where she stood hadn't been spared. The walls around her still bore the charred scarring of god bolts, and one of the pillars had yet to be replaced that had collapsed under a fierce assault. Oblivious to it, she stood on the balcony with a Karante demon, who reminded her a great deal of a taller Simi, except her skin was a swirling prism of red and white. Dressed in black armor, she wore her ebony hair braided with red feathers and gold beads. She even had gold tips on the edge of her pointed pixie ears.
I have a bad feeling, Rubati. You should do as Monacribos wants, and run with him.
I'm not afraid, Z.
His mother will protect us.
Braith won't allow her child to be harmed. It was the promise the other gods made to her, and his father when Kisare gave up his life so that Monacribos could be born. They swore that they would never ask for her to sacrifice more of her blood to them.
She cupped her stomach that was just beginning to show the signs of her pregnancy.
We're safe from their wrath.
Suddenly the sky grew dark overhead. Thunder clapped so hard it shook the building around them. Rubati stumbled, then extended her white wings to catch her balance so that she wouldn't harm her unborn baby.
Are we at war again? I'm not sure, but I'm being summoned.
You should hide. Ziamara leapt from the balcony to fly down toward the city. Just as Rubati started to leave, she saw Monacribos come into the room through the doors. Relief flooded her.
My love!
She rushed to him, only to have him backhand her so hard that the blow lifted her from her feet and sent her skittering across the floor. Stunned, senseless, she barely remained conscious as he seized her. He lifted her up in a cruel fist.
Damn you for what you've done!
She grabbed his hand in both of hers and tried to loosen his grip.
Kree, what's wrong with you?
But her words didn't seem to register as he set upon her with a warrior's vengeance. By the time the drug he'd been given cleared his blood and he came to his senses, it was too late. Rubati barely clung to life. Monacribos pulled back in horror as he took in the whole scene and saw what he'd done to the female he'd loved above all others. He saw his blood-stained hands and her battered body.
Rue?
Her breath rattled in her chest as she stared up at him, too weak and broken to move. Tears fell from the corners of her eyes, leaving streaks in the blood on her face. She swallowed hard before she spoke in the faintest of pain-filled whispers.
I was going to tell you about the baby I carry, but it's too late now. You've killed us both.
With those words spoken, she expelled one final breath, and the light that had always shone so bright in her eyes faded and left them glassy and hollow, empty, devoid of the only love he'd ever really known. Throwing his head back, Monacribos bellowed in rage and grief. Unimaginable pain shredded every fiber of his soul. He pulled her against his chest and held her there as tightly as he could. In that instance, his heart and soul shattered.
Damn them!
They told him the price of the cessation of war, that all of his army would have to be put down. For peace, he'd done it without question, without fail. He'd callously killed friend and foe alike, but he'd refused to harm his wife. And he told them as much. Her life had been the one he'd warned them to leave alone. Like his mother, he was a creature of great fury and bitter destruction. They all knew this to be true, and they should have heeded his warnings. His plan had been to take his wife and run from this place, to hide somewhere they couldn't find them. Rather than let him go, they tricked him. Now?
You will pay for this,
he snarled up at the ceiling above.
So help me, if it's the last thing I do. Every last one of you will taste my vengeance as I ram it down your throat.
He ran his fingers over Rubati's lips until they were coated, then used her blood to paint binding sigils on his body.
By the blood of my wife and unborn child, I swear that my sons shall all remember this, and that they will carry forth my powers, my strength, my hatred, and my wrath. Each one will know you for what you've done here this day. We will never forget, and with each generation we shall grow stronger, until we have enough power to put you all down and reign over you. We will not rest, we'll not falter, until the day comes that we are avenged for this wrong you've done us. Let our wrath rain down on you, so mote it be.
And as he continued to chant and call for vengeance while he held her, he felt something strike against his stomach. With a fierce grimace, he pulled back to see that her blood had begun to spin and twist with his. More than that, the winds picked up his cries. Suddenly, a piercing light erupted from her body, tearing through her chest where her heart had once fed life to her. Monacribos shrank away and held his hand up to shield his eyes. The light danced and spun, coming together until it formed a beautiful, young woman, one who bore a striking resemblance to his wife. Only where Rubati had been fair and pale, this creature was her darker counterpart, a perfect shadow creature of his beautiful wife. With the grace and dignity of a fully grown goddess, she rose to stand before him. Yet for all the appearance of a woman, she glanced about in utter confusion and bewilderment. She was a lost child who knew nothing of the world she'd just been born into. Monacribos rose slowly to his feet.
Rubati?
She frowned at him, as if she understood nothing he said. When he reached for her, she shrank away.
Step away from her. She's not your wife.
With a heated curse, he turned toward Cam, intending to kill her. But she wasn't alone. She stood in his mother's temple with the rest of her pantheon. With her gold and pearl skin gleaming, Cam approached him slowly.
She has no heart, Monacribos. She's merely a shell, conjured by your grief. A physical manifestation of all the emptiness you feel inside.
Then let her be called Bathymas, for she shall be my promise of a plague of unending misery on this earth. As you've all damned me, I curse you in return. None of you will know peace, or love, or happiness, ever. Not until the day you do right by me and make amends for what you've wrongfully stolen. Damn you all! Damn you!
With those words spoken, he manifested his Malachi sword and descended on the gods with his full fury. One way or another, he wasn't leaving the room until he'd slaughtered them all, not until the floors ran red with their blood. They had thought the war was over, but it was only just beginning. Chapter 12. Cody gasped as she felt Nick's memory fading away from her until she was again aware of being inside Manyara's store and in his arms. With a ragged breath, she finally understood why she felt so connected to him.
My mother is Bathymas reborn, she whispered.
Caleb nodded. She's the empty shell. When she met your father, he gave her the heart she was missing and completed her, which allowed you to be born as her completed whole, the part of her that was Rubati. It's what makes you the anchor for the Malachi. Even when he's like that, he feels you for who and what you really are. Cody laid her hand on Nick's cheek.
Can you understand me?
Nick blinked slowly before he nodded. Still in his Malachi form, he slowly lowered them to the floor and set her on her feet.
Better?
I have my powers for the moment, so I think the answer is yes.
He narrowed his gaze on Jaden.
But you didn't explain what Grimm and Laguerre have to do with this. It was their daughter who drugged Monacribos, Jaden said quietly. Needless to say, he went a little crazy.
And you have a hole in your memory, Nick.
Zev slid a glance to his father.
No Malachi before you has ever known what happened to Monacribos.
He scowled. Yeah, you're right. I know the fate of all of them, but his is missing. Zev nodded.
Because my father and his friends ripped him apart.
Jaden sputtered.
I had nothing to do with that. If you recall, I was against it since I didn't know what it would do to Jared. I was the one who risked everything to bring him back.
So you were. Nick felt his powers waning again as dread washed over him. This had disaster written all over it and catastrophe as a master seal. Bring him back, how? Jaden sighed heavily.
A new Malachi, Jeros, sprang out of his blood in much the same way that Bathymas had done with Rubati's. I foolishly thought he'd be the same exact way she'd been, innocent and ignorant, harmless.
Boy, were they all surprised,
Caleb said sarcastically. Zev let out a bitter laugh. True to Kree's curse, he came back all kinds of pissed off and wanting blood. His first course was to hunt down their daughter and exact an ugly revenge on her. Nick could see where this was headed.
So they killed him again?
I'm sure they wanted to, Zev said, but no, they weren't allowed. So they cursed him to die by the hand of his own son, which is the part you know, as it falls to you now.
Caleb saluted him.
And so, when his son, Evander, was born and killed him, then realized that one day his son would do the same, he decided the best way to exact revenge for that juicy little curse was to capture the two creatures who'd put it on his bloodline and to make them subservient to him and his progeny for all eternity. Better still, he decided to use their powers to feed his own and make them his generals, to serve him and his army.
Well, that explains Grimm's nasty attitude toward me. No longer a god of death, he was now completely dependent on the will of the Malachi for his duties.
Yeah, Nick would have a bit of a wedgie over it too. He told me when we first met that he was an angel of death.
Caleb snorted.
In a manner of speaking, he is. Even as a god, he wasn't a major deity, but rather an escort of sorts. Over the centuries, after the degradation of what Evander had done to him died down, he realized he had a better gig under the Malachi's banner. Still, the role reduction was always a bit of a rub.
Nick was finally in control enough to return to his human body. And I pissed him off even more when I slighted him.
Yeah, you did, Caleb said belligerently. But pissing people off is what you do best, Gaucher.
Thanks. It's okay. It's what I do best, too. Why we get along.
Nick snorted, knowing Caleb was right. And still his head was reeling from information overload as he tried to sort through it all.
Is there any way to go back and help Charity and the others? I don't like leaving her wounded.
Sympathy darkened Jaden's freaky eyes. That's not your battle, kid. Sorry. But if you change what happens, if we find out what went wrong, that won't be her world anyway.
Nick considered Zev's words. All this time, we've been trying to stop Ambrose.
Zev nodded. And it wasn't Ambrose. You were right the whole time. You're not the problem.
Doesn't really make me feel better to know it's my kid. Jaden stiffened at those words. Too late, he realized that his own sons had seen his involuntary reaction. They exchanged a silent, bitter glare of mutual sibling resentment for their father. While Nick was glad to see them getting along for once, he hated that it was hatred for their father that bonded them and gave them common ground.
Cody cleared her throat in an effort to distract them. Did you learn anything else from the future?
Learn's a bit of a stretch, but we did meet Kirian's daughter and Simi's two kids.
Instant tears welled in Cody's eyes.
Oh my God, Lucy and Amara were there, she breathed. They were alive?
Well, that was as shocking as their initial discovery. You knew about them?
Crying even harder, she nodded. I never mentioned them to you because I assumed they were long dead, so there was no need.
She let out a sharp, hysterical laugh.
I can't believe they survived the attack. I'm so happy they made it out.
And did you know Lucien hooks up with my daughter? The shock of that stopped her tears instantly. They ended in one sharp, stunned hiccup.
Seriously?
He nodded. Sniffing and laughing, she wiped at her eyes.
Well, since I had no idea that you had a daughter, no, I didn't know about that.
Do you know who their father is?
Caleb asked.
She nodded. Care to share?
Biting her lip, she dabbed daintily at her eyes with her sleeve, then cleared her throat. Given who they are and the way they get together, I think sharing that with present company would be a profoundly bad idea. That knowledge could alter the future, because I'm pretty sure, knowing you as I do, that one of you would do something to stop it.
Cody, trust me, Nick. I know what you in particular would do.
He would argue, but she did know him better than anyone else.
All right, I surrender to your superior common sense.
But that didn't alleviate the ache in his chest. He turned toward Zev.
I feel like we need to do something. We left them under fire. Charity was hurt. Can't we send some kind of help?
His eyes sad. Jaden shook his head.
Sorry. Doesn't work that way. Their future is their own.
It doesn't seem right.
Jaden glanced at each of his sons.
Life isn't about fair. It's about survival training. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Caleb let out a sigh of disgust.
There are some people who should never procreate. Amen, brother. Sing it to the choir.
Zev did some kind of odd hand gesture with him that must be the demon equivalent of a fist bump.
So, captains?
Nick asked in his best Star Trek Bones McCoy impression.
How do we fix the space-time continuum?
Ambrose said that the Eye of Ananke was the key.
Cody gestured to where Nick had left it on the floor.
We should start there.
Wow!
Jaden cut Nick's path off.
What exactly did the Malachi tell you?
That he'd screwed everything up by trying to stop it? He told me to use the Eye as my guide and do everything the way it was supposed to happen to make sure that nothing else got screwed up.
Caleb curled his lip.
I know that expression. Yeah, Zev breathed. It makes me sick to my stomach.
Nick arched his brows. What? Clue us in.
He knows something vital, Nick, that he's not sharing.
Caleb cut a look of absolute contempt at Zev.
Remember that battle we went into where he conveniently forgot to tell us that our powers weren't going to work? And that our enemies would be twice as strong, yes. I remember. I still limp from it.
That's the look, Nick. Memorize it for future warnings. Jaden gave both of his children a droll, irritated stare.
I'm thinking how best to explain it, since you two jackals neglected to tell the child what the Eye was. It's a fate stone, he rolled his eyes at Caleb. It's more than a fate stone.
He took a deep, annoyed breath, then went to the Eye and picked it up.
Nick, do you know who Ananke is?
Primordial goddess of fate, roughly the same as Tiamat?
That answer appeared to give Jaden an ulcer, judging by the grimace he made. It was nice to know his stupidity didn't just annoy and offend his mom and teachers. Jaden set the Eye down on a broken shelf.
Ananke is compulsion. She's the goddess of inevitability.
He placed three more stones beside the Eye.
Think of her as a fixed point.
He knows what pith points are,
Zev said from between clenched teeth.
He's not an...
He glanced at Nick.
Well, he can be an idiot, but he's a highly intelligent, high-functioning moron.
Thanks, please don't attempt to bolster my ego. I can't afford the therapy.
Jaden cleared his throat to get their attention.
Again, not just a pith point. She is the formless, unseen force that pulls you to your inevitability.
So she's like gravity for fate?
Exactly. She holds the time sequence together. She's the order to the chaos.
But,
Nick paused as he considered what Jaden was saying. Gravity has an escape velocity.
And so does Ananke.
Nick's jaw went slack.
Are you saying what I'm hearing? Or am I hearing what I want to because I want to believe it?
With the right application of force and counterbalance, even a pith point can be altered. Everything, and I do mean everything, is subject to free will. But shifting a pith point can have devastating, unimaginable consequences.
As in, unravel the fabric of the universe, Cody said from behind him. It's what the Zeitjagers guard against.
She's right.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I unraveled my sheets once. My butt still stinks from the beating my mother gave me. That taught me about messing with things I need to leave alone.
Pressing his hand to his head, Zev groaned.
Tirade aside, it sounds to me like Ambrose came to that conclusion and screwed up something he couldn't fix.
Maybe that's what gave us this Cyprian?
Caleb scratched at his chin.
Or maybe the Cyprian was always there.
Jaden jerked his chin at Cody.
Think about what an Erel is, what they do.
Cody screwed her face up at him. They track and record human history.
And?
They're the powers who defend and dispense justice. Jaden nodded and rolled his hands as if they were all following along. But Nick felt as off the tracks as Cody appeared. Once he realized they were all stumbling in the woods, slamming into trees, including Caleb and Zev, who sent extremely rude gestures back at him, he made a sound of supreme exasperation, then extrapolated for them.
Sraosha's original role as Erel was to set things in motion for that history that he kept, to ensure that it moved forward correctly and on time. He was also the judge of the dead, and one of the primary warriors who'd chase away the demons of violence and anger who preyed on mankind.
Hence his overwhelming love and adoration of me, Caleb muttered.
Jaden ignored them as he used his powers to lift the stones around the eye so that they hovered.
We've been assuming that Ambrose failed. But if he didn't, what if he succeeded?
He set the stones down in different positions, then looked at them.
Sraosha would still go crazy, Cody breathed, because the Order would be upset.
Jaden nodded.
Especially if there was a second Malachi, and Ambrose had found a way to break that curse.
You're speculating.
Jaden glanced at Zev and shrugged.
So I am. You have a better conjecture?
We don't have enough evidence for any kind of conclusion right now.
True.
But I like where his head is.
Nick bit his lip as his mind whirled with the possibilities of it. For the first time, it gave him hope.
In his version, I'm not the jerkweed who destroys the world.
No, your son is.
He rolled his eyes at Caleb.
Go stand in the corner until you learn to be more positive in your thinking. You need an attitude adjustment, Mr. Dave.
My attitude is fine. What I need is an environmental change, or I'm not locked in a hovel with an ass,
he cut a gimlet glare to Jaden, then Nick,
and a pimple.
Nick scowled at Zev. Why are you smiling?
I'm reveling in the fact he left me off his hate list.
So,
Cody spoke in the most diplomatic of tones to get their attention off the matter, can we use the eye to reset the future like Ambrose wanted?
See, that's what baffles me most. The eye doesn't really work that way, and Ambrose had to know that. I'm sure Nick's already been experiencing some of its side effects.
Are you talking about my spirit channeling?
He nodded.
So you have been communing with it?
Oh, yeah. And I don't like it at all. It's like dreaming with my eyes open.
Yes, but they're not dreams. They're important insights that relate directly to the matters you're trying to understand. The reason why it's called the Eye of an Anka is that it shows the why of a matter or a person.
Nick felt so stupid as he finally got it. It doesn't show the future.
It can, but it shows the past, the present, or whatever it deems necessary to give you understanding.
Cody crossed her arms over her chest as she studied the eye from a distance.
You're right. It doesn't make sense that Ambrose would send us after it, given that that's what it does.
And it shows all futures, Nick muttered.
Which I truly despise. It's like having my mom on steroids. Don't do that, Nick. I had a friend in high school who did that once, and I'm telling you, you could fall, skin your knee, get a compound fracture, break the bone, and get blood poisoning, funky cancer, or rabies, and die.
He finished in a mocking, deep voice. She always has to go to the most morbid and horrendous conclusion imaginable. He jerked his chin. So really, I didn't need that. Already had one from birth that walks around behind me all the time doing it. Caleb laughed.
Charisse would kill you if she heard you say that about her.
Probably, but it's the truth.
You know the one thing it can't do, though, is lie.
Nick turned back to Jaden. Come again?
I'm thinking, unlike a person or a memory that can become distorted by time and emotions, it doesn't fabricate or lie.
It never gets misled or misinterprets events. It always gives the cold, unvarnished truth. What you see is what happened. Your little tirade on your mother is what made me think about that. Our memories are always faulty. They're tainted by our emotions and perceptions. We filter everything we take in by our experiences. I mean, you said yourself a few minutes ago. Did I say what you thought I did? Or did you hear what you wanted me to say? It doesn't make me a liar or you a fool. It's just human nature. People see what they want to see, and they hear what they need or want to hear. The I doesn't do that.
Ambrose wanted you to know the truth. Whatever it is.
Cody met Nick's gaze.
I think someone other than Ambrose is tampering with the timeline.
Caleb cursed. That's what brought out our ugly friends. They were looking for whoever did it, and they thought it was Nick because of Ambrose.
Cody nodded. But while he did it, it wasn't egregious enough to warrant punishment.
They were after the real culprit, whoever it is.
Yeah.
Covering her mouth with her hand, she looked as sick as Nick suddenly felt.
What are we dealing with?
Same thing we've been dealing with. The end of the world. Only we no longer know how to stop it.
Nick walked around the shattered remains of Manyara's store.
I mean, look at this place. If they could come in here and do this to many, how are we gonna stop them?
Caleb glanced at Zev.
You're up.
Not me.
Coley.
I'm on it. She went to Nick and wrapped her arms around his waist. Breathe deep and focus. Shh.
Nick was having a harder time than normal with his panic attack. He opened his mouth to tell Cody that she wasn't there, that she hadn't seen it, but luckily caught himself before he was that stupid and insensitive. She'd not only seen it, she'd died there with her family, and that made it worse for him. His breathing turned ragged.
Beware the seeds that are planted even in the most fallow of fields. For those we lay with callous hands might very well prove to be those of our ultimate destruction.
Nick blinked at Jaden's words. Pardon?
It's something Bathymas used to say.
Caleb's voice was tight as he spoke.
Those words were often carved on her temple walls as a reminder to use restraint and good judgment in all things. For whatever you plant today, you will ultimately reap tomorrow. Whenever you bring evil into your life or do evil to others, the universe will spit it back at you with a vengeance.
And if Nick wasn't on edge enough, 2 seconds after Caleb finished speaking, something hit the front door so hard it caused them to rattle. Worse, blood ran beneath the doors, pooling around his feet.
Chapter 13.
Hello? Akram and Yara Cam Lady? Quality Goddess, are you in there? Why you got so these nasty ugly circling outside your door anyways? Can the see me eat some? Cause they just gonna drive away your good business people and they kinda scaring the tourists. If you ask me, it's just a public service to let the see me eat them. Hello? Akram, any you in there? Can you hear me?
Laughing nervously, Nick almost fell over in relief at the sound of Simi's sing-songy accent as she pounded on the doors with enough force to rattle the hinges. It was a wonder she wasn't shattering them. Dang, that demon was strong to be so thin. She could double as a wrecking crew. Cody went to the door to unlock it, while being careful not to step in the bloody demon mess that Simi had left behind on her arrival. She carefully opened the door after first peeking outside to make sure all the other demons were gone. Or eaten. Though to be honest, Simi usually asked permission before she chowed down on things that could converse.
That is you, right? Cody asked.
Well, there better not be nobody else pretending to be the Simi, or else the Simi is gonna have to get some barbecue sauce and eat them heads, cause I ain't gonna have no one else sleeping in my bed or hanging out with my Akri in my stead pretending to be me. The Simi don't cotton to no imposters, nor does she share, unless forced to against her will and loud complaints. You can ask my Akri, and he will tell you this is quite true. Don't know what you heard, Akra Cody, but you were badly misinformed if you think otherwise.
Yeah, That was definitely the adorable goth demon Nick knew so well. All 6 feet, striped leggings, leather purple corset, and short black frou-frou skirt of her. She had her black hair pulled up into two pigtails that fell in twisted cyber-goth falls from just above her ears. Her coffin-shaped bag was slung over one shoulder, and she wore a crystal vampire bat choker. Cocking her hip and head, Simi frowned, pouted, then frowned again at them.
Well, what all happened in here that has y'all looking so sad and irritable? Party? Bomb? Bomb party? Did someone get a little too excited and burp a chaos demon who ran amok and did all this?
Then she saw some of the entrails on the floor, and she bowed up at Caleb.
Oh, no. No, you didn't. You done had a buffet, and you didn't invite to see me. For shame on you, Akri, Caleb. You a mean demon boy. You off the seamy Christmas list for that. No oven mitt for you, bad. Bad demon, bad.
Caleb laughed. There was no buffet, Simi. I promise. We got here after it. I mean, not after the buffet, after the fight that made this mess. You didn't miss anything, other than a battle.
Oh. Okay.
She grinned adorably.
I'll put you back on my happy list of mint-deserving quality demons, then.
She waved at Jaden.
Hello, Akri demon dealer godman. Been long, long time since I saw you last.
Hi, Simi. You still hanging out with that loser with a surfboard?
She gasped.
Akri Savitar is the bestest. He makes the hottest diamond barbecue sauce this side of the sunken city. You should try it sometime.
Yeah, I'll pass. I rather like my intestines not on fire, but thank you for the offer.
She sighed and patted her coffin-shaped handbag.
Your loss, Akri JJ. The Simi telling you that it fully enhances all the flavors of the innards and can kill the ones you don't like.
Pursing her lips, she looked around the store.
So where's Aquamini? She promised the Simi some new sparklies.
There was something about Simi's enthusiasm and happiness over the simplest things that was infectious and made being around her such a joy, provided she wasn't sizing you or your entrails up for her dinner pot.
We don't know, Nick gestured at the mess. It was like this when we arrived. People?
Zev paused as he moved toward the doors.
Anyone else realize that the demon Simi killed is still on the ground over here? Bleeding and not self-cleaning the way we like our demons too?
What's that mean? Nick asked.
That it's crossed into this realm and has its own corporeal body.
Caleb paled.
And Zev's right.
We don't like when that happens. Cody turned even more ashen than Caleb, which was impressive, given that her skin tone was darker.
Why?
It was Jaden who responded.
It's a whole new level of wet-your-pants evil. More powerful, more brazen. And when you kill them, you risk a jail sentence because you leave behind a body for the authorities to use for a murder charge.
Nick's stomach shrank at those words.
It's what your father went to prison for killing. As you so eloquently once told Bubba, no one buys the old he was a demon who needed killing your honor plea.
Caleb pulled the body into the store and used his powers to clean up the sidewalk. Teams of them had been known to set us up and get the humans to come after us for centuries.
Yeah.
Jaden stepped forward to examine the body.
They've raised entire villages. Dark Ages were a bitch, or a lot of fun, depending on your perspective.
Caleb gave his father a disgusted gape. Jaden scoffed.
Please. Like you've never toasted marshmallows over your enemies' corpses. You forget, I've seen you. No, wait. Those were their brains you toasted, weren't they?
Their hearts, actually.
Zev said under his breath.
Then he ate them.
Nick choked on that as he passed a concerned, wide-eyed stare to Cody.
Note to self, don't piss off Caleb anymore.
She gave him a droll smirk but didn't comment.
Speaking of them munchies, can the Simi have the body? Akari won't let me eat no people. But ugly demons nobody likes are usually on the menu.
She passed an eager, hopeful, and extremely adorable look at them.
I've got no problem with it.
Caleb glanced around at the others. Nick cringed. As long as I don't have to witness it, I guess I can live with it. Clapping her hands together in instant joy, Simi jumped up and down in excitement and made a sound in the back of her throat that vaguely sounded like a happy dog panting. Suddenly terrified by that amount of enthusiasm, Nick put a little more distance between them.
Before you go, Simi, Cody caught her arm, I have a favor to ask. We need to find Aaron. Can you help us track him down?
She was already digging her barbecue sauce from her purse.
Sure. But his friend would be better at it than the Simi. His nose is made to go a-sniffin'.
Friend? Nick scowled. He doesn't have any friends.
Uh-huh. And that's just mean, Akri, Nick. He got that very nice wolfy friend that comes up to play with us when Akri Caleb at school. Sometimes we even go out for eats.
Did you know about this?
Nick asked Caleb. Caleb shook his head.
I had no idea.